Now, this song here, as you were singing, brought tears my eyes on it. I was sitting back there. You sit back here and you hear music like you can hear right here. Beautiful. But let my song be a sweet perfume, rising up to heaven. Let my life be a prayer to you, pleasing to you, pleasing you forever. This morning, right here, was a table. And that table had the bread and it had the wine. And we sang precious hymns this morning. And some of the wonderful praise we lifted up to the Lord Jesus. And we were reminded of a price that was paid. We were reminded how much God the Father loves us. Don't ever forget that. Don't take for granted the privilege that you have. Last night I was talking to Sister Annemie, and one of the things that has been on my heart for many years has been China, among others, but especially China. And I heard a story, and I'm going to share this with you. It ties into what we're going to be talking about momentarily. In China, they could never get into a room this big and gather together and sing the praises we've been doing all weekend long. No. You couldn't do that. The night before I came here to this camp, Thursday night, I was up till 2 in the morning praying, reading, and I ran across something as I was a picture of these Chinese people getting together to remember the Lord. They had to go out in the country and they showed pictures, but their faces were blinded out. And they had to go in to the country to a well. And they went down into the well. And in that well, it was a false well. And it led into a cave. And that's where they would gather. But they couldn't gather like a bus coming up and everybody getting out and saying, "Hallelujah!" No, they couldn't do that. They had to do it over a period of time. Well, this story goes on. And I know my children have heard this, but I'm going to share it with you because it's on my heart. I'm going to link it into what we're going to speak about. These same people, when they got together for fellowship, they slowly got in. It took hours to get 4, 5, 6 people together. And I believe there were 8 people. And when they got together, they sat quietly. And this had to be done out of the country. You couldn't do it in the area. And the story goes that as they were doing that, 2 soldiers came in. Now, in China, you're persecuted for that. I'm not going to get into those details, but many will do terrible things. Not worth mentioning. But when they came in, they told these Chinese saints, who love the Lord, many of them only have 1 page out of the scriptures. They didn't have Bibles. They memorized different pages in the Bible. You might have a page. You might have a page. You might have a page. And they treasured that page. It wasn't all ruffled up and like we leave our Bibles here at night and forget where we left them. They treasured the page. When they got there, he told them, "Denounce that Christ and leave. Because if you don't leave, we're going to kill you." They loaded their machine guns. And they said to him, meanwhile, 2 or 3 of them walked away. With a mother. Father and a mother had a newborn baby and a little girl and a little boy. And they said, remember, before they got there, these saints prayed earnestly. They prayed earnestly that they could have some fellowship because they can't come like we do every Lord's Day, Wednesday night, Saturday, young people's. So they ushered them in and they said to them, "You're the only one here. I take it you're not going to leave." And the husband turned to his wife, "Baby, said, we're going to stay here. The soldier looked at him and said, this is your very last chance. And they said, do with us what you will, but we will now not renounce Jesus Christ. At that point, the soldier lifted up their gun and shot over the head of him and killed him. They put their weapons down and they ran over and embraced those saints. And they said, hallelujah. We were looking for the real Christians because my life is in danger of being a soldier. You see, you know, in the scriptures, it says here, you have to remember what a gift you have. Not the gift of money, not the gift of clothes. It's not the, all these things that you would hold dear to you. But you know, in the old days, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a verse in here, and it says, chapter 6, verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thou and thy son and your son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. You know, at this camp, I see many generations popping up. Some old brothers here, the next generation, another generation. But you got to pass it on, one to another. My Bible says that the days are waxing worse every day. My Bible tells me that if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole heart, soul, and mind, you take this and you reap it if you think I'm wrong. You will be persecuted for your love of your Savior. Because this world, the ruler of this world is Satan. And he abhors the Lord Jesus. It has nothing to do with him. But you know something? You are few in number. Go to your school. Go to your neighborhoods. And tell them about Jesus Christ. And they will laugh at you, mock you. If you have courage. Do you love the Lord God with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Let me tell you where your strength comes from. It comes from within. It comes once you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Now it's time to grow. But you say, I'm just a little girl. I'm just a little boy. Let me tell you something. Do you love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Oh, don't give me that lip service. Talk is cheap. If you love him, you can sing his precious songs. Brother Mark, keep that back on off here. You can understand one thing, that you have to make a stand, and you will have to grow. But you grow on your knees. It's good to be fed by brothers. It's good to be fed by many people. You have spiritual leaders. You have new eyes, you have a new heart. You got new hands. You can touch differently, smell differently, look differently. Because God has given you the gift of his Son. Now let me tell you something. You have to be able to discern right from wrong. You have to know God's will in your life. You have to know what his will is for you. It's not turning on the television. It's not playing a Game Boy. It's not put other things first. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? The Lord tells me in the book of the Old Testament that he ponders the heart of man. He says, your heart is desperately wicked. Who should know? Do you know your heart, brother? Do you know your heart? Only the Lord knows your heart. But let me tell you, these pictures are only portraits. We have, I only put them there just to help give a little bit of, we're not focused on pictures. But the concept is, we love the Lord Jesus. This morning it was Rich.
with Rich this morning as we remembered him. But let me tell you, Jesus was a man of prayer. He is our model. Don't look at man. Do not look at man and say, wow, look at that system. You go to your Bible and you study this Bible. If at the end of the day you spend more time watching television, playing games, and only gave the Lord a minute of your time, hold your head down and ask the Lord to forgive you. Is he first in your life? Could you do what those Chinese people did? Were you willing to die for the Lord Jesus? Or would you be that one that says, you willing to stand up for that one? That one who was rich and was made poor? That one who knew no sin and was made sin? Is it nothing to you? The question is asked, is it nothing to you what I've done for you? Don't take it lightly. Too many Christians do.
Too many Christians do.
Where are you with your walk? I challenge every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest here, to go back home and ask yourself, where am I with my walk with God? I don't want you going out and telling everybody, I'm here, I'm there. Go in the closet. Talk to that one who loves you, who died for you, who's intervening for you, who's got a plan for you. He knows everything about you. What you're going to do for him, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live. He knows after the details of your life. But we are our own worst enemies because we choose to take the iPad. I want this. I want that. I need this. I know what I want. Submit yourselves to that one who knew no sin. Jesus taught us a new way. And I mentioned this yesterday. How we address. He taught us that God is our Father. In the Old Testament, they didn't think of God as intimate. But you know, the Lord Jesus brought in the intimacy of God the Father. The God of heaven is a Father. The Father allows intimate access to Him. The Father allows intimate access. Can you imagine? I could live in Pennsylvania, this brother could live in New York, New Jersey, this one could live in Hong Kong, this one could live in China, but they can live anywhere in the world. You have immediate access. I went to the White House. I worked at the White House for almost a year. I had to have Secret Service clearance. Do you think I saw the president one time? No. Did I walk his angel? How you doing? I had what was called an unescorted pass. You had to go anywhere in the White House, but I couldn't meet the president. But you know what? I can talk to my Lord while I'm walking. On a mountaintop, in my room, I can talk to him. Immediate access. Whoops. Oh, no. Brother, this is a sensitive thing. Can you take me back a little bit? But the thing that we have to remember is, you got it? Keep going. These buttons, I'll tell you what, technology here. All right. Now, there we go. Jesus himself called God Father. And you know that Jesus changed the way people came to God. You can pray anywhere. We sang that. Isn't that a beautiful hymn when we sang that? And God in heaven hears you. Now, you know, prayer is not how long we pray. Some people think God measures it by how long I'm praying. But you know, we just learned yesterday that that little prayer was a short prayer. But covered a lot of ground. You know, before he told his disciples how to pray, he went to Matthew 6:7. Anybody know what that is? What does Matthew 6:7? Let's have a little source, but who can find it quick? Okay, go ahead.
And when you pray,
not use repetition as the heaven do. Even. Do. For they think that they will be heard for many works. It's not important. Begging a petition. He wants to hear your heart's desire. You have a new heart.
You are bought with a price. Your heart is different. He wants to hear the praises that are in your heart. He wants to hear what's on your mind. He knows the desires of your heart. But guess what? All of us have different experiences in life. We live different places. We go to different things. He knows that. But He loves to hear your prayer. He does not want us to repeat the words of prayer again and again. He does not want us to think that the Father hears us simply because we talk to Him in long speeches. Talk to Him when you're in school, on the bus, when you're walking to a class, when you're in a parking garage. Bow your head when it's time to eat, not to show everybody something, but because you honor Him. You never know, the Lord might challenge you and put somebody in and say, what are you doing? Maybe you're a witness to the Lord Jesus. Your prayers will be effective if you are sincere and if you ask for the right things. What does sincere mean? How you doing? Now, sincere from the heart. He wants to hear your heart. He wants the sincerity. He doesn't want just idle words. But how can you do that? You gotta read. And you gotta understand Him. You gotta know what He's all about. Now, the secret of prayer is a secret prayer. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners and seen by all men. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. There is nothing, and I'm sure everybody here can tell you, there's nothing like being alone with the Lord. Tell Him everything that's on your heart. Weeping with Him. Laughing at something. Thanking Him. Praising Him. Looking for directions. When you're sick, talk to Him. When you're happy, you talk to Him.
Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He wants you.
You know, I'm a father of six. I can't give my kids all the love that the Lord gives. I tried my best. I failed miserably. But my Father in heaven will not fail you. He will not fail you. His desire is, when you said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. When you said that, you are now His. Oh, my son here and my daughter there. It's nothing. It's that relationship you have with Jesus Christ who is the most important thing. Nothing else is important. And when you do that, you begin to grow. Do you think He wants to see you grow up and be the president? Make a lot of money? Have a lot of security when you get old? Live a day at a time. But live it for Him. Not for me, but for Him.
We get focused on the outward while God is focused on the inward.
You worry about outward appearance.
But what does He say about the outward appearance in the Old Testament?
Man judges men on the outward. I'm a good looking guy, you know what I mean? No, He's not concerned about that. He wants this. He wants this. What's in the heart? Do you love Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind? Or are you just going through a ritual? The greatest fear I have with Christian young men and women, I'll tell you this right now, including my own children. I didn't get saved until I was 28. I grew up hard. I had to learn things all over again. But I learned them quick. But you know what I fear about young people that are sitting in this meeting that are a second generation, third generation? Maybe the fourth generation. My Bible says there's a falling away. So when I look at you young counselors out here, every one of you, I say to you, I'm getting to be an old man. I'm there. I remember a young brother, like I say, told me, rise up, young man. Rise up and serve the risen Savior. I remember that brother grabbing me and throwing me in a room. Physically, throwing me in a room. Says, where's your tracks? Where's your body? Where's your love? He mentored me over some time. Brothers with the Lord now. Young people, just because mom and daddy go to a meeting, don't take that for granted. You come to Christ on your own knees, before the righteous God, you tell him you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and you'll get saved. You'll be bought with a price. The young people, this next generation, don't get wrapped up in this world. Don't get wrapped up in this world. You've got another generation here that needs a mentor.
We want instant formulas, instant food. You go anywhere. Got to have it now.
But God wants intimate fellowship. He doesn't want to say, how do you know? Like the president doesn't go to the meter. He wants you. He wants to sit with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear a little about you. Intimate. He wants to hug you. He wants to see you rise up and live a little life. Life is but a vapor, the scriptures say. A vapor. Young people say, oh, this day is going on forever. Old people say, wow, where did they go? You can't go back. Time, you can't buy it back. You can't buy time back. You waste it, it's gone. You can't change yesterday, but you can change today. And you can change tomorrow. That's your choice. That's your decision. What are you going to do with time? What are you going to do with your Savior? We want quick fixes, instant cures, and there are none. There is none. This is all you need. My mama. My father called me one night and he said that, yes, he was alive, my mother. He said, your mother is on a respirator. They're going to pull the plug in 2 days. If you want to see her one last time, fly out. So I have never been to Hawaii in my life. I grabbed my Bible, and I grabbed my hymnbook, and I grabbed one change of clothes. That's all I had. When I went there, my father picked me up. He said, was good eating? I said, no. My mother, my father, my brother, my sister are not saved. My sister's 9 years older than me. My brother's 7 years older than me. My mother, both my mom and dad, grew up as Italians from Sicily. They believed that good works were going to get you to heaven. And I knew when she was on that respirator, opened the door, intensive care, and I see my mother laying there, tubes in her mouth. She is in a coma. The whole trip on that flight, the longest flight I ever took, I said to me, I said, Lord, go. I said, Lord, my mother, she's denied you so many times. Make so many excuses. Satan has planted seeds of doubt to Catholicism. Give her wrong messages. I said, Lord, go. I don't know if you can allow me the privilege. I'm going to speak to her. But will you allow her to come to Christ? So my dad said, come, it's been a long flight. Let's get you food and get you the other. I said, no, no time. Take me to the room. I went in the room and I sat down. I asked my brother, my sister, my father. I said, do you mind if I have some time with mom? I said, no, go right ahead. Close the door. I ran. Every reverse I could find. I told her about that rich man in Nazareth. I told her, like the Lord Jesus told us, that he spoke more about hell than he spoke about heaven. That was his topic. In the short period of life that he lived, he didn't talk about everything else. He spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. He didn't want us to go there. So I shared everything I could find in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I sang Jesus loves me. I sang hymns in my hymn book. And all of a sudden, the door runs open. And a nurse comes in from intensive care with another one. And my sister's a nurse. They ran and said, what's going on? What's going on? What do you mean what's going on? I said, nothing going on. They said, your mother's blood pressure and heart rate has changed rapidly. I said, I'm not a doctor. What does this mean? And they said, you don't know. You've never seen this before. And I said, is she all right? He said, yes. And I said, well, we'll just monitor from here. It looks good, but we've never seen drastic changes take place. So I press on. I whisper in my mom's ear. It's as close as I could get. I went like this. I said, Mom, I'm going to be here for another hour. I said, I'm not going to watch them pull that plug on me. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. I would love to see you someday. I said, I don't want to think of you in pain. And I said to her, Mom, all you have to say, and I gave her the sinner's prayer. Now, whether or not she accepted prayer, I don't know. But that day, when that happened, and I took that flight back, I left her, gave her a kiss, and I left her. I held her hand the whole time. When I left, I told her, I said, Mom, this is it. 45 minutes, you're going to pass on to eternity. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Mom, there's no purgatory like the thousands of teachers. You're done. Choose now who you're going to serve. When I left and I got on the airplane and went back, I made a commitment that day. I will not come to a camp. I will not go anywhere that the Lord allows me to go and talk about my Jesus. I'm going to tell you, some of you in here may not know Jesus. Heard gospel last night. Heard it woven through all the days. But I'm going to tell you now. I've seen young people die on highways. I saw it. I've seen terrible things in my life. There's no promise that any one of us in this room is going to be here next year. Next month. Choose now who you want to serve. And if you are saved, then make a choice. Take up your Bible and you begin to get down on your knees and say, Lord, teach me. Let me model you, Lord Jesus. Let me learn how to talk to you. Let me learn how to walk with you. Let me grow. Lord, I want to serve you and you alone. I'm not worried about my job, where my college is. I trust in you with my whole heart, soul, and mind. Can you say that? You need to go home from the youngest to the oldest and get an account of your life and see where you're living. Are you pleasing that one? Where's your treasure? Some of the old brothers, sisters, like you mentioned, young people, entrepreneurs, and gotta make some money. Now, the very first principle the Lord provides is a warning against praying as the pagans do. He does not want them to turn to prayer about to teach them in the biblical. The Bible declares, we just talked, Kate just read it, daily repetition. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. How can that be? I've got some deep, dark secrets that we have no secrets. Well, you can hide from your mom. You can hide from your dad. You can hide from your grandparents. You can hide from the brothers and sisters. You cannot hide from the Lord. If we want to get close to the Lord, we must continually communicate with Him. Prayer is our way of doing that. Oh, but I like to be popular at school. I like friends. I know how to be friends. I dress the right way. I smell like that world. I dress like them. I act like them. Is the Lord pleased with you? You think He's worried about what you look like, what you smell like? You think He's concerned about that? He wants your heart. Period. It's not what we utter that's coming to know every more fully the one whom we pray. God has revealed His word. The prayer of faith must be rooted in the Scriptures. Study the Bible. Read it. Grow. Don't look to be fed by the brethren. Be thankful for that. But search the Scriptures out. Be able to discern right from wrong. This day is waxing closer to the end. You're going to see false teaching. You're going to think people telling you things that you thought, oh, I don't know. Why don't you know? Because you're not
putting this first. You got your angel in his hand, and this is your collecting dust. Study the Word, especially the promises of God. Find out the will of God is for you, and read. Prayer is not a means of presenting our requests. Not a means of presenting our question. It's a means of pursuing our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. You think that you look at me and say, oh, it's broke. I'm an old man. But you know something? In the scope of eternity, this is nothing. You're going to spend eternity, if you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with the Lord. You're either going to go in and say, well, I know John 3:16. No. I tried to live for you. Whatever this is. But the point is, the more you study, the more you know Christ, there's nothing like knowing who He is. Listen to this. Much, how much do I owe you, said a man to his Lord, for giving me this day and all the days that gone before? Shall I build a temple? Shall I make a sacrifice? Tell me, Lord, and I will pay the price. And the Lord said, I won't take less than your love, your sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of this world can never be enough. And I won't take less than your love. Who do you love? Do you love yourself? Got to be in all the highest fashion. Got to be like everybody else in the community, driving that car, all those things. Or do you love Him? Do you trust Him?
Remember, we are all sinners who sin every day.
Every day we sin. Oh, how can I say we sin every day? I say it. No, we sin every day in our words that we speak. We speak a lot with our nonverbal communication. Did you know that? I can tell what you think just by looking at you.
But the Lord knows your heart.
Unconfessed sin breaks our union with God. It will not break our union with God. It will, however, break our communion with God. Confession is a crucial aspect of daily prayer. You've got to say, Lord, forgive me. I think that terrible thing about that person. Lord, you know, I worked with a man who was terrible. Well, he is terrible. I worked for the president of the company I was in. One vice president was extremely jealous. Because the Lord blessed me and gave me success. It made my life miserable. I come home every night, I tell my wife, and I complain. Karen looked at me and she let me go. She said, you finished? And I looked at her and said, what do you mean when I'm finished? I said, don't you hear what I'm saying? She said, well, tell me when you're done. Let me go get your box of Kleenex. She said, that man is destined for a Christless eternity. What are you doing for him? My wife's a woman with little words. But when she speaks, she knocks you out like a, you know, like a bat. So, you know, you got to be careful. Why pray if God knows our needs? While our Father knows what we need before we even ask. Remember that. Before you ask, He knows what you need. Not what you want. I want this, I want this. No. What you need, He knows what you need. You don't know what you need. You think you know what you need. You do not know what you need. Before we even ask, our supplications are in and of themselves the acknowledgement of our dependence. Did you hear this? On the acknowledgement of our dependence on Him. And that alone is the reason not to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray for everyone. Pray for your enemy. Pray for everyone. Pray for the saints that they will grow and be godly men and godly women. That they will not compromise. You pray that? You pray for each other? You pray for that sister who brought you the wrong way? Oh, man. Damn. Pray for her. Huh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. They're rooted deep in this world. This world is not our home. Don't get comfortable with it. We're moving on. But God wants us to impact this world we live in. What are you doing in your lives, young people? First generation? Where's that? Counselors? What are you doing?
Wasting time? Satan will rob you of valuable time. DVDs, CDs, music. I dare anybody in this room, I dare you, come see. Show me that you listen and watch DVDs. But you spend how much time with this? And you say, oh, go to me, sit down, go down, come on, ready to go. Hey, come on, where's your priorities? Ask yourself that. Do you love that one who knew no sin? Is it nothing to you? Is that why you behave the way you do?
The Garden of Gethsemane.
The Lord addressed the God as Father. He taught his disciples and he's teaching us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And now we pray that it is possible that this may come, may pass from me, yet not my will, but your. Are you willing to say, Father, my will? Your will be done or my will? You guys know all the right words. You know the hymns. You know the scriptures. Oh, I can get along with the best of them. Do not look and talk is cheap. Heart. You hear what I'm saying? Heart. You understand, Mark? Jesus was the bread of life. He thanked God before he ate. I just threw that in there. He thanked God before he fed the 5,000. And you know, we should recognize that the will must be submitted to his will. That the will must be submitted to his will. To be submitted, you have to be humble. You have to realize that no more, not me first. No, not me first, Lord, you're first in my life. Not my will, your will, Father. I'll do what you want me to do. Send me. I'm ready. No, I've got too much time. Yeah, you got all the money. I love that living. You got like cars, like clothes. Back at me. I'm going to heaven. Hey, you know, I'll just blend in with the rest of them. I'll come to me, you know. No.
You pray your will be done in first and foremost recognition of the sovereignty of God. We have a righteous God. A God who doesn't want to look at you or hear you. That's why Jesus is intervening. He's intervening because we're sinners. He knows that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So Jesus is intervening for you now because we're sinners. Saved by grace, but we're sinners. Let me push on. We just have a couple minutes here. So, okay. We would be in deep trouble if God gave us everything we asked for. Every time we ask Him, Lord, I need this. Lord, I got to have this. Lord, let me talk to you about this. I've got to have it. And you reason with it. But you know, the truth is, we don't know what is best for us. You think you know what's best for you, don't you? But you know something? Our asking is based on our own limited knowledge. Do you hear what I said? Limited knowledge. Limited. We think we're something, but we're nothing. We have a limited knowledge. But you see, and all too often it is colored by what? Self-interest. Lust of flesh. Lust of the eye. Pride of life. You want to follow who? The prince of this world. The one that said, I will ascend. Or do you want to be like Jesus? Oh, descend. And humble himself. We can only praise God that he does not answer every prayer prayed in faith. Thank him that he doesn't answer those prayers that you pray in faith, that you think you know. You know nothing. And the sooner you realize that you know nothing, the sooner you will have a better, a richer relationship with him. Come and submit yourself. Get rid of that pride. It stinks. We sang that sweet smelling savory one. No. Your pride stinks. Because it is of sin. You hear what I'm saying? Hezekiah prayed, just give me 15 more years. Father, the most wicked king in the history of Judah, positioned his kingdom to be plundered by the Babylonians. He died with his heart lifted up in pride, praying, "Your will be done," is a daily recognition that our wills must be submitted. We should recognize that the will must be submitted to his will. He who created us also knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for you. You think you know what's best for you? I hear it all the time. I know what I want. If we walk according to his will rather than trying to command his according to our one will, we will have, as he promised, peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Remember that song? In the midst of the storm, Jesus is there. Do you know that song? Well, how come I'm not hearing y'all sing? Let's try it again. In the midst of the storm, Jesus is there. Jesus. Don't forget who he is. And never lose sight of his prior of our priorities. We should never come to God. Let me just move on. And that's it. So, what we're going to do, is I want to tell everyone one thing. I want to tell you that it has been a privilege. And I can say this on behalf of all the brothers and sisters that are here. When we get together in the morning and we pray and talk, we're humbled by the opportunity the Lord gives us to come here. We're humbled that he can use us who are nothing to minister. And let me tell you, young people, I challenge you. This is my challenge I lay it out to you. From the youngest to the oldest. Including me. Our challenge is, how much do you love the Lord Jesus? Don't play games. If you can play games in our minds, live for him, honor him, talk with him, pray with him.